Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio looking out on Michigan Avenue here. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and my main man, the best, Steve Cochran, is at 6 for your morning drive. It's Thursday morning, 312-981-7200, talk and text. And, yeah, we're hanging out, and we're here until 5 a.m. And, again, I want to thank Cash for sitting in for Dan Shigrew. Thanks.
Of course. This is great. I love it.
Thanks. And Dan will be back on Monday morning. Tomorrow on our Friday show, Dan Long will be filling in for Mr. Shigrew, and we'll have all of our regular Friday features, Straight Outta Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday, all coming up tomorrow. Right now, though, I want to welcome back to the show a really terrific guest, a fascinating woman, Dr. Karen Phillips. She is a psychotherapist, a clinical hypnotherapist, and a relationship expert, author of several books, including her latest, which is OMG, We're Getting Married, 7 Essential Things to Know Before We Say I Do. You can check out drkarenphillip.com for more information, and we want to talk to her. Always a fascinating guest. Let's welcome Dr. Phillip back to the show. Doctor, welcome back.
Hi, Nick. Good morning.
How are you?
Always excellent. Thank you.
Good. Tell everybody a little bit about your background, just so people may have not heard you on the show before.
All right. I live in Australia. And I'm a counseling psychotherapist and, as you say, clinical hypnotherapist. I work with families, children, and I do a lot of work with relationships and couples. I wrote a couple of books, one on parenting, one on relationships prior to and early in marriage. And I'm doing another one at the moment that is yet to be released, but that's all about powerful words we need to learn to change any conversation to the way we want.
Wow. Okay, that sounds interesting. we'll have to talk about that when it's ready to come out.
Yes, we certainly will.
And you do your hypnotherapy sessions, and many of them you can do, and counseling sessions you can do via Skype for people who are interested around the world, correct?
Yes, I do. I do a number of them, particularly for people in the United States, via Zoom or Skype, but we've developed a virtual hypnotherapy, which is called virtualhypnotherapy.com, site where a lot of people can do the sessions themselves instead of coming into the room or paying a large amount of money and waiting for a considerable time to do a session such as quit smoking, lose weight, that sort of thing, you know, reducing trauma, stop biting nails, reducing anxiety. You can do it now online. So a lot of people have been investing in themselves and taking a bit of time to do it that way, which is really good. It's fabulous when we see sales coming through, because I get to see so many people that are taking control of their lives and taking back that power, which is just amazing.
Mm, yeah, and it must be gratifying for you as well.
It really is. Yeah, it is. Particularly when you get the emails from them to say, you know, my life has changed, or I never thought I could stop smoking. I've tried so many things, patches, pills, all sorts of things. Did your session, took a couple of hours, bang, haven't had a cigarette for months now. Things like that. It's really beautiful to hear.
Yeah, that's great. All right, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about loneliness and depression. There was a piece in USA Today that said Gen Z is the loneliest generation. It's not just because of social media. And you have talked about this on your website. You've written in your blog about why millennials are lonely and how social interaction benefits your health. Talk a little bit about that and on why this generation seems to be the loneliest so far.
Well, the article did indicate that it wasn't mainly due to social media, but that's not what a lot of research is saying. It actually has got a lot to do with the isolation that the Gen Zs are engaging in with their devices,
yeah.
Whether it's social media or games. It can be either or. But what we're finding is that it's not just the Gen Zs, it's also their parents, the millennials, that are also engaging considerably with their devices, which is passed on through modelling, and therefore the children are also doing it. So we're finding that, you know, a family will sit down for dinner, they're engaged in their devices, they no longer communicate the way they used to a number of years ago, and that's having a detrimental effect on not only the millennials, but also considerably Gen Z. And because Gen Z are so young, we're really not understanding the results of what that's going to be like in their life as they grow and develop. I mean, they're all basically in their early 20s or just hitting 20 at this stage, so we're really not sure. But what we do know is that they're starting to struggle with social connections. They're struggling to understand a lot of body language cues and tonality cues because they don't engage socially nearly as much as they used to. Even kids at school, you know, you get their lunch break and half of them are on their phones rather than engaging with their friends and playing and, you know, talking to each other like they used to. So all of these things are becoming a bit of an issue and we're noticing the change in them now. And from the surveys that have been done, they are indicating that they do feel more isolated and lonely. So it is something that we really need to look at rationally from a community and society position to see what are we doing to our kids? How can we adjust and change our children's behaviour? And I think a lot of it needs to start with their parents, our millennials. So if they can change their behaviour, then the children will often follow suit.
And what advice do you have for these people, like the millennials, to you know, like for instance, I mean, how do you handle some family time together? I would imagine that you make rules about how often you can use your device, how often the kids can be on their devices, and how does that usually go for people?
It's an interesting one, Nick, because a lot of times parents will say, like they'll come into the counselling room and discuss this issue multiple times. And the first thing they do is say, well, we tell the kids that they can't have their phones when they go to bed. We tell the kids that this, we tell the kids that. And then I say to the parents, well, what is it that you're doing? What example are you setting? And they sort of go, well, we're the parents. I go, yes, but if you're saying to your child that phones must go off at 9 o'clock, that really means for everybody. You need
right.
to set by example.
Right.
So a lot of them are now starting quite successfully. The kids will charge their phones in another room. And I had one family recently who the child, who was 16, wouldn't allow the phone to go out of her sight because the parents might check. And therefore the privacy was an issue. So they agreed that they'd get a little box with a key and the child would put the phone in there and keep the key. So therefore the child's privacy was honoured, yet she left the phone out of the room so her sleep improved, therefore her grades improved, and she'd get up in the morning and talk to her parents and engage with them over breakfast, which she hadn't done for a very long time. So the whole genre of the family was starting to change, and it just worked so well. They all agreed that their phones would be away from the table over dinner. None of them would take a device to the dinner table, and they even went as far as other families have, and for one or two nights a week, many families agree to put their phones away so they actually can watch TV together, they can play a game, play cards, just do something, generally communicate.
Yeah.
And that's where we find so many issues. There is that lack of engagement between the children and the children and their parents, and that's the issue that we're finding.
The lack of engagement is something I want to talk about. We have to break here, Doctor, but when we come back, you wrote a piece on your blog about social interaction benefiting your health. And I think this is a pretty important thing to talk about, and I think it's a good segue from what we've been talking about, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Karen, hang on a second. Dr. Karen Phillip is with us, and you can check out drkarenphillip.com. And again, all this stuff online is available, and you can also check out her hypnotherapy sessions and counseling sessions. She does them via Skype, and she's a wonderful woman and a fascinating woman. And we're going to come back and talk more with her. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio here on a Thursday morning. And, we are going to be here until 5 o'clock. And after the 4:30 news, we're going to talk about hilarious ways that you can laugh more every single day. Everybody needs a good laugh, and we'll give you some advice on how to do that. Speaking of advice, my current guest is Dr. Karen Phillip. A psychotherapist, a clinical hypnotherapist, and a relationship expert, written many, many books. Her latest is OMG, We're Getting Married. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I want to welcome Dr. Karen Phillip back to the show. Karen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before the break, we were talking about this new study in loneliness and isolation that Gen Z and millennials are working at. And you wrote a piece about social interactions and how social interaction benefits our health. And I think this is a pretty fascinating thing. Tell everybody about the piece you wrote.
Well, basically it was on the the results of when we fail to socially interact. We are social animals. That's what we're designed to do, to talk to people, to integrate with others, to live within a community. And when we're unable to do that, we can exhibit social stresses and depression. And the latest study has found that people that are more lonely and socially isolated, they often become overweight, often due to lack of exercise. They tend to smoke more, they have higher blood pressure, they have higher stress levels, lower self-esteem. So in other words, there's nothing positive, really, about isolating yourself. And while we think that we are engaging through our social media or even through our games, that is not what we're actually doing. We're participating, but we're not engaging. Mm. But there's quite a substantial difference there. When we engage with someone, we can see their face, we look in their eyes, we hear their voice tone, we see their body language, we pick up the cues from them. When we're participating in something, then we're texting or we're just joining in something online or something like that. So it's quite a considerable difference for people thinking that they're socially connected through their devices. They're not. They're simply participating with others on their devices, but they are not socially connected. They are becoming more and more socially isolated. Mm. And that's having a considerably detrimental effect on their health, unfortunately.
You know, it's interesting. I made a pretty big lifestyle change a few years ago, and I don't go out as much as I used to, not nearly as much as I used to. But I feel that this job that I have, considering that I interact with everybody, with the listeners every night, helps me a lot. You know, and I had isolated myself from a lot of the relationships that I had before because they a lot of the social activities that I did involved drinking, and I quit drinking. And so I spent a lot of time by myself in my apartment doing things, reading and watching television and listening to music and stuff. But my outlet seems to be this show, and I always feel good when I'm on the air talking to other people and interacting.
Look, that's great. And speaking on the phone is terrific because even though we may not see them directly, we hear the tone of their voice. We hear the speed that they're speaking at. We know if they're emotionally up or emotionally down. We can communicate quite differently when we speak. The trouble is these days, everyone's texting, and words are a very, very small amount of our communication.
Yeah.
So we're missing everything else. So speaking on the phone to your guests is great.
Yeah.
Because you can interact socially that way, which is fabulous.
It's great. And you know, there are listeners who call in constantly. We talk about fun topics, and you know, a lot of people. These are very intimate hours here, doctor, because it's, you know, it's 4:24 a.m. and I'm on from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. and those are the wee hours of the morning when a lot of people who are listening are either at work and some people are just kind of lonely, and it's a very intimate time. So it's really important to connect with all of my listeners every morning. It's an important thing and an honor for me to do.
And that's a really good point, Nick. Connection.
Yeah.
When we connect with someone, that changes it's simply changes the way we feel and the way we think. Even if we walk along the street, we may not even know anyone, we may feel a little bit isolated. If we look at a person in the eyes, we smile at them, we nod, say, hello, good morning, how are you? Even that makes us feel, you know, our endorphins are released, our serotonin's released, we feel so much better.
Right.
And the conversations can start so easily. Even ordering a cup of coffee, a conversation can commence.
Yeah.
So if people are feeling a little isolated or alone, and, you know, they're always on their devices, as most of us have them in our pockets 24/7, basically, then just simply engaging with people in a conversation, looking at them in the eyes, because often we tend not to do that.
Yeah.
We walk with our eyes straight ahead, or we walk there with our eyes down or on our device.
Yeah.
We are lacking that social interaction that is absolutely vital for us as human beings.
Yeah.
It makes us just feel so much better. And not only that, when you look at someone in the eye, you smile at them and say good morning or hello, what you can do to that person can change their entire day.
True. Yeah, it's true. Before we let you go, Doctor, I want to talk really quickly. You have a book called OMG, We're Getting Married, and it's a book that people who are planning on getting married or thinking about it, or, you know, have the date and they're going to do it maybe in a year or so, they should get and read. And but it's beforewegetmarried.com. I just want to tell everybody about the marriage assessment questionnaire that anybody can take at beforewegetmarried.com.
It basically raises awareness of things that you and your partner do with each other, to to each other, even for each other. It just positions you a little clearer. It's not so much a rating that you're, you know, you're 10 out of 10, you're fabulous or anything like that. It's a matter of bringing your attention to what it is that you're doing and how you're doing it and what effect that may have on the person that you love. So that's the assessment tool, and anyone can do that on the beforewegetmarried.com website. So it's a really, really good assessment task to take.
Yeah.
It can really open up conversations.
Yeah, there's no question about it, and it's nice and thorough, too. There's a lot of stuff covered here, and I think it would open up some eyes if they went to take the marriage assessment questionnaire at beforewegetmarried.com.
Yes, it usually does.
Yeah, so yeah, I can see by the questions, Doctor, that by many of these questions that it could open up some eyes and change things for people. So,
certainly can start some conversations.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Doctor, I always find you fascinating and fun to talk to. And it's Dr. Karen Phillip. Her latest book is OMG, We're Getting Married: 7 Essential Things to Know Before We Say I Do. You can check out drkarenphillip.com and beforewegetmarried.com for more information and the marriage assessment questionnaire. Doctor, always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Dr. Karen Phillip. She's great.